Before we start, we'd just like to thank our communication sponsor, Freedom Internet. Locally owned and operated, Freedom Internet delivers and secures residential short stay and commercial fiber internet services. Now ask yourself, when was the last time you updated the security on your in-home router? Don't worry, because Freedom Internet will do it for you. Keeping you and your family's online experiences safe and fast is Freedom Internet, helping to build community and connecting community throughout Aotearoa. Sign up today at freedominternet.co.nz. In the world of rugby, there's fast, and then there's Kyron Taumoifilau, KT14. This man isn't just fast, he's lightning, leaving defenders in the shadows. Born to break ankles, born to do hurdles, Kyron moves different. Half a chance into guaranteed points, this man is also my highest fantasy scorer. Whether it's slicing through the line, scoring for the high ball, or finishing tries that shouldn't even be done or made possible, he makes it look easy. He's built different. It's my man. It's my brother, Kyron Taumoifilau. How are you, boy?
Hey, good, man.
Appreciate it. Well, good. Thanks for coming in, bro. How's it?
Nah, it's been good, man. It's been,
how's the body?
Body's good, bro. I've had a week off my shoulder injury. Couldn't play against the Crusaders, but happy as for the boys. Got the dub, and the boys are heading in a good direction.
Man, bro, that's so good, bro. Watching that last game would have been pretty epic. Watching that, eh?
Bro, it was awesome, man. Like, I remember just watching that. I knew that the feeling during that week of the Crusaders game, I knew the boys were on that next level, so it was pretty cool to get a performance.
Bro, awesome, bro. We've actually got our Crusaders, man, now. Look at that jersey. Oh, sweet, bro. Like, how's it been this year, bro? Obviously, we've seen you come into some sick form. Like, what's it been like? Is it just you performing, or did you really want to make a stance this year?
Yeah, well, I think I said after NPC, I kind of just wanted this to be my breakout year. I wanted this year to like really take with two hands and just really take the opportunity. I knew that with the age I am, I could really put my best foot forward in this competition. And I felt like I've had a good start to the season, and I'm just looking. I just think this is just the start.
Yeah, your NPC season last year was crazy. Is it true that you guys actually get a fine if you don't do your fins up?
Yeah, bro.
Really?
I think it's $200 fine if you don't put a fin up. Country. So that's if you score like one or two tries, you got to put it twice. So,
Dang. Yeah. Holy moly! All right, bro. Well, we'll get started. We're gonna wind it back a little bit, bro. We're gonna take it right back. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a little place called Blenheim, near Nelson. I was there. Yeah, I grew up there with my family. I have four siblings. I've got a little brother, two adopted brothers, and then I've also got my sister as well there. And with my mum and dad, I grew up in Blenheim most of my life, which has been nice.
Oh, bro, that's crazy. Like, out of all places, Blenheim, eh?
Yeah.
All right. So what school did you go to down there?
I went to Marlborough Boys College.
Yeah.
It's a pretty small school, bro. Yeah. Like, it's not a rugby school or anything like that, but there's definitely produces some good footy players.
Oh, man. So, like, when you go to, like, primary school into intermediate, did you play rugby, like, right through there?
Yeah, bro. So, like, my primary school started at a little school called Witherley School. But that was just, like, playing touch and having a bit of fun. And then getting to Marlborough Boys College, rugby became serious for the first 15.
Yeah.
I seen that all my mates were taking it serious. So I was like, oh, I might just have a jam. And, yeah, decided to play first 15 in year 11.
Oh, so you, wait, when did you actually start playing rugby, like, properly?
So I played rugby when I started, like, young, like, when I was, like, five.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I didn't really take it any serious.
Oh, true.
Like, yeah, I just played just purely for the boys and just to have fun. And it wasn't until, like, high school I was like, oh, man, like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Bro, that's pretty crazy. And, bro, it's actually nuts to hear that, like, for where you are now. Because it's actually Caleb said the exact same thing. Like, he never took it seriously as well.
Yeah.
And he, pretty much the exact same time you started taking it seriously. At Marlborough Boys, is rugby, like, a big thing?
It's, like, pretty proud rugby, like, place.
Yeah.
The place of Blenheim. But the school itself, like, they love the first 15. They uphold it pretty highly at the school. But we're just such a small school that it's pretty hard to foot it with the big, like, Christchurch Boys and Nelson College. But in my year, we had a pretty good team that we actually beat Nelson College, who won it that year. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I love it at Marlborough Boys.
So yeah, is it just rugby you played, or what other sports did you play growing up, bro?
So I played touch. That was like, oh, I love my touch.
Yeah.
I played touch all through high school. I was selected for NZ20s for touch. I wasn't allowed to play because I had a sevens tournament.
Oh.
Loved it. I just loved playing alongside the boys and the enjoyment. I've gone to nationals with the boys, Triple A.
Yep.
It was cool, man.
What posse were you in touch?
I started as a link, and then I just moved into the middles.
Oh, that's, bro, you and Les are also the same there, bro. And I said the same thing in that party, like, it was mean, like, touch or so gangster, bro, when I was young, because I got to play in the middle.
Yo.
And then when they realized my ball skills were ass, bro, all of a sudden I'm out on the wing. sweet, bro. Like, we're going to go into a little bit more depth, like, when rugby came into your life. What was your rugby club called growing up?
Rugby club growing up was Waitoa. It was a real proud, you know, a place called Picton?
Yeah.
It's a proud rugby place, rugby region there in Picton. And it's, like, a real small place, but... fans, like the little, it's like a little family community there. So like every home game would be packed out. I remember as a kid growing up, my old man was the head coach for the premier team. So going down to the fields, like I think that's where I found my love for the game, was just going down there, seeing how it brings everyone together and then just seeing the players you look up to and just, yeah, it was pretty cool, bro.
Bro, how good. When you go, like, who were some of your rugby heroes growing up, bro? Because you're obviously a little bit younger. And you know, when you talk to some other guys, like especially we were talking about the Water Lad, like they talk about their rugby heroes, it's like Zinza and Brooke and all those guys. For you, you're probably playing with a lot of them nowadays. Who were your heroes growing up?
My hero growing up, I had Israel Folau was like right up there. He was number one for me, like the way he could compete in the air, the way his play style, and then how he did it so young and then continued just to grow. I think that was pretty sick, man. And then I'd say Izzy Folau, and then probably like a Rico Ioane.
Yeah.
I just like the flair he plays with. The flair he plays with, and the way he goes about his work. I just think that as much as he's a threat on attack, his defense, he's got that dog in him. Which makes him mad. So, yeah, probably those two.
When you talk about Israel Folau, when you first watched him, what sport was he playing then? Because he's played heaps.
Yeah, bro. I think when I first watched him, might have been the Wallabies he left league. So I didn't really watch him play league, but when he was playing for the Wallabies, watching him rip up the All Blacks.
I was obviously
an All Black supporter, but watching him do his thing,
finding
out he was Tongan and everyone you spoke to about Israel Folau, no one could say anything down about him. So probably Izzy.
Do you reckon a lot of, like, watching him now, it actually makes a lot of sense that was one of your idols growing up? Because your aerial game was quite similar in your range, kind of getting up in your vert. Is that kind of how you styled a lot of what you do now with the high balls, etc.?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, my gameplay, like, I try base everything a lot like Izzy Folau, like the way he used to play, and like even when things weren't going his way, you know, the aerial battle could always get him out and get him into the game pretty early. So I think just having that point of difference, and I'd hope to think, but he's one of the greats.
So you said, do you just want to look at that and this camera here, bro, and do you just want to say, Joseph Suwali is not going to win one highball on me this evening. Now we'll go to the next one. Bro, what was the moment where you knew rugby was more than just a game for you?
Probably more than a game would be probably after high school. Went through like a bit of adversity during high school. I remember when I was playing for Marlborough Boys College, I was told in year 11 that I'll make the Crusader under-18s the following year. I was like, all right, sweet. And then it got to that next year, thought I've had a pretty good season, and they didn't select me because they brung two 10s from Auckland to come and play in my position.
Oh, yeah.
So then, like, after that...
I was
at Marlborough Boys College, and then the Crusader under-18 squad.
Oh, right.
And then I was meant to be selected for that, and then they brung two Aucklanders to come and fill that position. And then after that, I was just like, I just had like something to prove, like, you know, after that. And then once high school finished, I like said to myself, like, as soon as like high school's finished, I'm taking this serious. I'm going to train. I'm going to take some time away, find the enjoyment for the game. And then any opportunity I knew that I was going to take with two hands. And that's pretty much where I found the love of the sport. I just knew it all started from that something to prove after high school.
Bro, you're talking about like something to prove and feeling like, you know, feeling like you've lost out on something, and obviously you had a goal to make Crusaders 18s. In regards to, like, you know, that pressure of wanting to make it and not, how did you deal with it personally?
So, like, obviously for myself, like, I took it to heart, it was like, wanted to make schools, wanted to make 18s, wanted to make NZ20s. And then, like, my old man just sat me down, and because he's my big rock in my life, he's like my best mate. And he kind of just said to me, he's just like, sometimes you just got to walk with faith and not by sight. Right. And it's just like, it was pretty cool to me. And like, being a Christian family, he just kind of sat me down and he just said, gave me this verse. And it was in Proverbs, it's like, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and always submit to him.
Ooh.
Bro, and once I heard that, he just said, train hard, put your head down. And once you get an opportunity to do your thing, that's you. And then I was like, yeah, sweet.
Bro, I feel like I just got baptized again, bro. Holy moly, that's tough. So all your family is religious, bro?
Yeah, yeah. My whole family, mum not so much, but yep. My old man, brought up in a church and my brothers and sisters as well.
Mean,
yeah.
Bro. So all of you grew up to the church. What was that? Do you think that had a lot of impact just with regards to like family values, personal values yourself? Did that help you with your upbringing?
Yeah, 100. I think especially on that side, to keep you humble as well. Nice, you know, like nice. When everything's going well, like it's always good to have someone who's just going to pull you back down to earth once you when you need it as well, which is cool.
So let's go like towards that kind of end of, you know, your rugby. What year did you first play first 15?
I played 2020. That was my, so I played when I was year 11.
Yeah.
That was my first year. And I was at 10, just playing 10 for my first 15. And actually had a pretty good side, eh? Like had some good dudes in that team. It was like I said, it was a pretty small school.
Yeah.
Had a really good head coach, Matt McDougall, who's, he's all over the place now. He's coaching Crusader 20s and I think he's doing some Canterbury stuff at the moment. But it's a good ride, man.
So you go from first 15 and then, well, did you make any rep teams kind of in the juniors around the area?
Nothing,
or
bro.
Nothing?
So I made like Tasman 19s and stuff like that.
That's all after school though.
So it was pretty much all after school. In school, I don't think I'd made anything.
Really?
Bro. Like, yeah, it was like, because I remember like I had no comms from Crusaders or anything like that. Wow. Even Tasman, bro. Like I finished high school and I was training in like this high performance Tasman crew.
Yeah.
And then the coach like pretty much said there's nothing here for you and stuff like that. And then that's when that chip on my shoulder. And, oh, yeah, bro. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Holy moly. I can't believe that, bro. That's nuts. So you talked about something to prove.
Yeah.
Like we've obviously covered it a little bit. But like having something to prove, like what does that feel like? What does that mean to you? Like that chip on your shoulder, what did it feel like?
Mm.
How did you attempt to like get it off your shoulder? What was it just like for you as a young man?
Yeah, it was like, because like obviously there was so much hurt, but then like afterwards you just flip it to being like, I don't know, you're just like, you're up, you're big, and you're like, man, like ready to take on any opportunity. Mm. And then so after high school, I got asked to play in the Sevens tournament. I did play the Tonga Barbarians rugby Sevens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's just a bit of fun, you know, the World Schools with the boys. Had a pretty good team, made the final. And then after that, that's when Tonga Sevens was in the picture.
Mm.
And they were watching me play and they said, oh, hey, do you wanna come and have a tryout and have a play for us and just see how you go? So I went over and I played for the Tonga Sevens and just trained and trial and then was lucky enough to be selected for them. But right before that, the NZ Sevens was hitting me up like, do you want to come to a camp and have a training camp with us? And then same again, go back to my old man, my rock, and I just ask him and just have a chat with him and he just told me, do what feels right for you. And then that's when I decided to play for Tonga at a young age.
Bro, making a decision like that, bro, like honestly, that's pressure. That's Yo. Real pressure. What was it like? Kind of what kind of led you to pick Tonga instead of NZ?
I think just like being in the Crusaders region and the Tasman region, like they kind of let me go. So I was like, there was nothing there for me. And I was just like, man, how about I just go and try rip up for Tonga rather than rip up for a New Zealand side early in my career? And I knew that if I was that good, then I can come back and play for a New Zealand side after I go through this period.
Mm. Let's run through like the timeline then, bro, obviously before international for Tonga. So no rep teams in school.
None, yeah.
And then you go, but you had touch, obviously, was going to be, you would have made rep teams for touch.
Yeah, I would have made rep. Yeah.
And then you go to, what was the first rep team you played after school? Was it Sevens?
Yeah, straight into Sevens.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so straight into Tonga Sevens.
Straight into Tonga Sevens, straight after school. I think I was still 18 when I was playing in the World Series against New Zealand. It was pretty fast.
Oh, my. Yeah. And the Tonga Barbarians tournament, was that the Global Youth Sevens global competition? Youth.
Yeah, bro.
Oh,
yeah,
nice. Yeah. Who was in your team? What was your kind of team like? Do you remember?
We had, like, Essendon. We had Tevita, who's at the Dolphins at the moment. He's training.
Oh, Nofahu?
Yeah.
Oh, Nofahu. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, there was a couple others as well that are like still gun players, man. Like,
what about, was Fahey's little brother in there or was he too old?
Yeah, we had John Boy as well. John Boy, he was gun, man. Yeah. I think he's training over in...
he's at Ready as well, I think.
Pretty sure, yeah, he's training. But yeah, it was gun squad and I knew that heaps of us, like a few of those boys were asked to play for New Zealand. They all decided to play for Tonga, which was cool. And man, we had fun, eh? Like it was a good... It was nice. It was cool, bro.
Bro, it's such a good tourney, especially for exposure. And obviously, it definitely shows that it's true for exposure because you obviously get picked up and your talent obviously kind of shines through at a tourney like that.
Yeah.
Finish school without any rep teams. Well, the Tonga Barbarians is a rep team, so you got that in school.
Yeah.
And then you choose between New Zealand and Tonga, go to Tonga. What was it like as a young guy that's, you know, you probably still had a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, but now you get to really show yourself and your true talent. What was it like?
Man, it was cool. Those certain time from when I was 18 till now, or 18 to 19, maybe 18 to 20, bro, was like my grinding. Like, that's where I wanted to really prove something, eh? Like, it was just when I got on, I remember I had, when I was 18, I had a World Series and my first game was against New Zealand. And like, once they, like, I was pretty pumped. Like, I know I've done all the process of training and done all my work before that. And then when I got there, man, it was cool to just light up with the Tonga boys, eh? Like, they taught me a lot there, especially about culture and being a good person. And then when we went there, we didn't beat New Zealand, but we beat teams like Great Britain, nearly tipped up Argentina. Won a few games, which was cool, bro. It was mean.
Bro, that's awesome. When you got onto the field against New Zealand, when you looked across, who was there? What are the kind of guys over there?
The guy had, like, Regan Weir, Michael Lee, Moses Leal.
Oh, mean.
Yo, like, I think there was like Nashu in there as well. So there was some pretty gun players, bro. And it was just like pure excitement.
Did you feel pressure?
I don't think I felt pressure. I just felt more excitement of just wanting to just, because I felt like I had so much to give to the game. And I was just like pretty excited to get that opportunity. And my coach at the time from Tevita, He pretty much just gave me the full license to just go out and just ball out, you know, just do poly flavor and just do what works for you, which was cool, especially being 18 and having that opportunity was pretty sick.
Yeah, being that young, if a coach gives you the ticket to say, just go do what you do and go do what you love, how was that for you? Do you just got to express yourself in any way you like?
Yeah,
on the field?
Like, I just remember, like, no kicking. I could just run from anywhere. But they just give me the ball and I would just, like, try and make something happen, which was cool. Like, that's what I love to do. And but I loved it, eh? It was cool. It was good as a coach to give that young player confidence to go out and jam, eh?
So you played playing first 15 and then going into something like that, that's a huge jump. And I don't think there's a small percentage of players that your age at the time would have been doing. How did your body cope, like, physically?
I think physically, like, I think I was way lighter too, bro. Like, I was, I was real light, like, in the low 80s or something. But I think... I definitely saw bodies after the game, eh? But I probably wasn't physically ready, but like mentally I knew that I was keen to go. And
yeah,
like there's a lot of times that when I was out there just freestyling, things would just come off and you're just having pure fun and enjoyment of the game. And then later on you realize, man, I wasn't ready for that. But, you know, you're just being young and excited and did what you did and it's pretty cool.
Sweet, bro. I still can't believe that you went from like school in sevens comp to Tonga sevens. Yeah. It's crazy. Where did you get to travel around the world with that sevens? With the
so I went to like South Africa. Oy. I went to the UK. Where else did we go? Australia. Went to Sydney, and I think I went to Hong Kong as well. And then, yeah, that was pretty much me, bro.
Bro, what was that? So did you travel much before going to the Sevens?
Nah.
Real?
Nah, I don't think I've been out of the country, eh? Like,
before the Tonga Sevens?
Tonga Sevens.
Wow, bro, that's cool, bro. That's sick.
So then, yeah, from like 18 to 19, I was just traveling around, just playing for Tonga Sevens. And it was getting me good exposure as well. And it was just good to just travel, get more life experiences.
Yeah.
Oh, it was cool. I enjoyed it, man.
Oh, bro, that's crazy that you go from that all the way to going around the world, ticking off places on the list. What was your kind of favorite stadium abroad?
The favorite stadium. My favorite stadium, like, probably been to like some pretty cool places, but nothing would probably compare to being like the FMG Stadium with the home family.
Oh,
I reckon that would probably be the best stadium. Like, there were some mad ones, definitely in the UK and that. which were pretty sick, man, in South Africa. But I reckon just FMG Stadium at home, where you were born in New Zealand.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, I'd say.
Oh, bro, FMG. Awesome. That's, bro, what a good answer. I love that. Sweet. We're going to go to the grind in those years, because I want to go back, because obviously you have more things after that 15s.
Yeah.
In your grind stages, what did it look like for you? You talked about being in an HPU environment.
Yeah.
What else was it? Was it your own little training sessions by yourself?
Yeah, or? Bro. So, like, I would, because I was with the Tonga Sevens, but in that grind period, it was just, like, pretty much wake up early, train, and then I'd do whatever during the day, and then I'd have those HP sessions. But the HP sessions were, like, just, I don't know, they were just like an hour and a half after people after work would go and do it.
Yeah.
And I did those sessions and, but yeah, it was pretty much that, eh? And then just a bit of club footy as well for my hometown back home. I had a year at club and yeah, that was.
Prems?
Yeah, played Prems for Waitoe back in Picton, which was a home family club, which was cool to connect with a few of the Tasman boys down there as well. But yeah, it was sick, man.
So when you're having those little training sessions in there, like, well, yourself, and you'd obviously had to do a lot, because I think, was that just one HP session a week?
It was, so there was three.
Oh, three HP sessions. Yeah,
three HP
a week.
Sessions, but they were just like an hour, like in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So I'd have to do my own during like the morning.
Yeah.
I'd try getting like a session and then I'd do my HP. I was just doing that repeatedly.
Yeah.
Just trying to get better. But yeah.
But you still obviously had to do surplus to that to be in shape and obviously perform to the level you did. In those sessions you did by yourself, when, you know, you don't have too many calls and, you know, you, well, in the way I used to do it, like, you'd compare yourself constantly to people that are kind of getting their way through the door. What was it like for you? What would you tell yourself in those moments?
In those moments, I'll just keep trusting, like, trust the process, trust the plan. Like, my process was all about, like, my training, my nutrition, and then my mindset. Like, I remember even at a young, like, even back then, I was still like so stuck on, like, if I was overthinking or anything like that, just go outside, go for a walk, visualize. And every time I'm on that field, I just knew that, like, I just wanted to maximize every session. That was pretty much what I was trying to do. And then when I had a club game or any game, then that's when I just try to light up.
Yeah. Mm. We've gone through your setbacks. Now I want to talk about, like, who were some, like, coaches or mentors that had the biggest influence on your journey? And for you, like, you can start with dad as well, because obviously it's your best mate.
Yeah, so probably my old man. He's probably, like, yeah, he's, like I said, he's my best mate. And he helped me through every time, like the good times, bad times, and every time. So I think going to him for, like, he's a big rugby head. He's an Ireland rugby head. And I just go to him and for help, and he always kept me on the straight and narrow, even at even when in high school as well. He pretty much told me, like, no drinking, train, get you, the time will come. You just need to keep training. And I'll probably say my old man, and then probably another coach who's probably helped me during early in my career would be a guy called Matt McDougall, bro.
Yep.
Guru, like, skills coach, attack coach. He was my high school coach, and he was the same, like, always helped me out, always helped me do extras. He was always out there getting the best for me. And I think his development and my skill level, I think, helped me when I got to those big moments.
Definitely. So you had those people as your kind of support network throughout, and you obviously managed to work it in your way, in your own shoes and in your head yourself. What was it like when that guy from Tonga, or, like, whoever, your manager or something, what was it like when you got that first call to kind of go into camp or go into...
To the Sevens?
TV, yeah, to the Sevens.
Wow, it was cool. It was exciting, eh? It was just like something new, like something... There's my opportunity. I just knew, like, I was just so happy, eh? Like, I just told my family, friends. I was like, man, I'm going to go on the world circuit and represent Tonga. Like, obviously, New Zealand was... I just wanted to play for Tonga at that time. And it was just pure excitement, bro.
Did you expect it, bro?
Nah, not at all. Eh? I was like playing TBR, like, the at that World Schools, and I was just like, thought nothing of it. Once that finished, it was like pretty much that's high school finished for me. Once to get that call straight, I was like, straight after high school, I was like, yo, let's go.
Bro, that's like, bro. That's crazy. So let's go through after, bro. So you go from school, Tonga Barbarians. Then after school, you go straight into the Sevens environment. When did 15s kind of creep back into the mix?
So, yes, sweet. So after that, so then I played the Sevens, went traveling a bit. Went traveling a bit. And then I got another phone call from the Tonga 15s coach. And he just kind of called me, Doltai Gifu, who's like a Wallaby legend. He called me and he's just like, I want you to come to the Pacific Nations Cup with us. We would like you as an outside back for us. Mm. And then, yeah, he just pretty much just let me know like all the times and when to be there. And I was just like, at the end of the call, I was pretty excited. I was like, man, like, it was pretty cool. And I knew that they were putting together a solid team. Like, they had Israel Folau, Molokai Fikitoa, Charles Piatel, all these dudes. And I was like, bro, I was like, got to go, man.
So you were in camp with all those guys?
Yeah, man.
Bro, you were in there with your idol, bro.
Yeah, bro.
How was that? What was it like on your first day going into camp?
Bro, my first day, it was like, I was nervous, man. bro, this is, when I first got there, like, I was at the airport and I walk in, I was by myself, like, with my little Tonga Sevens bag. Yeah. Like, I'm like a nobody in these guys. And I just walk in and, bro, I look to my left, there's like Charles Piatel. And I look to my right, there's like Solomon Okata and all those boys.
Dang.
But right from the get-go, they just pulled me under the wing. They see me play sevens and they were pretty good from there.
Mm.
But yeah, it was cool, bro. It
was amazing. And what was it like when you saw your kit bag? Were you like, yes?
Bro, I just took photos. Sent it to the boys there. I was but nah, it was cool, man.
Oh, bro, that's mean. So when did you debut for Tonga, bro?
I debuted for Tonga when I was 19. I think we played against... So I had a game against the Australia A in Tonga. The team was pretty stacked. They had like Tupou, James O'Connor and that team. Oof. So it was pretty stacked. And we ended up winning that game, bro. We won that in Tonga, but it wasn't a cap. So it was just like a one-off game. So I was like, okay, sweet. We played in Tonga. And then the game after that was in Fiji. So then I was like, oh, and this will be my debut if I can play. Was selected to be on be number 23 in that Fiji game. So we traveled to Fiji. Camp was good. We played the game. Lucky enough to score in that game. And yeah, that was my debut, bro.
What was it like? I assume that was in Lotoka?
Yeah.
Yep. Bro, what was it like? That crowd's like, cool, bro.
Yeah, no, it was cool, man. And my sister was there too. So the crowd was loud, eh? Like, the heat there in Fiji is just the next level. And you know, the pure love for the game over there is just like the crowd was getting up. And we did end up losing that game, but it was just cool to get like my first taste of international footy back then.
So how many times did you have to chase offloads that game?
Bro, I think the whole game. The whole game.
Bro, that's pretty crazy. You guys have, pretty much the Fijians is pretty much Fiji drew, bro. Like, like a lot of the players are obviously from there. And if they could get the internationals back, for the guys that are in like the top 14, et cetera, bro, I reckon the Fiji team would be even more stacked there than it is now. But it's the same for Tonga. Like, Charles Piatel obviously comes back after playing and making a whole lot of dosh overseas. What was it like playing with those guys, like all your heroes and idols growing up?
Bro, it was sick, man. Like, I was roomies with Charles Piatel.
Really? Oh, bro, mean.
So that was cool, like, getting to know him and on a personal level. And like his character, you know, he walks, when he's on that field, you can feel that aura and flair about him.
Yeah.
And every time he gets the ball, he's going to sidestep you, you know, like, but then off the field, getting to know him, he's just like a good dude. Like, I thought he was going to be like too cool or whatever, but he honestly was so humble and just put me under his wing and taught me so much about the game, which was sick.
Bro, that's good. We're just going to talk quickly about your adjustment from going to professional rugby. Obviously, it is a big jump. The way you prepared in both games, mentally, physically, like some people will take notes, some people will do like mindfulness or whatever. Did you have any like routines that you'd follow in those weeks of being a young professional?
Yeah, probably like, I'd set my week out on like a Sunday and I'll just be like, all right, sweet. I've got 5 days to prepare, game day, Saturday. I just set out like in my notebook, I just set out little goals that I want from each day. And then I have my three big focus points for the game day. So just that would be like my process would be just like Monday to Friday would just be nailing that. If it's visualization, if it's just meditating, if the pressure's too much, or if it's just going for a walk, making sure I'm spending time with friends and family, being present. That's just pretty much me, bro. And like, obviously would always have my notebook ready and looking over notes. But because once you get that process right, I know that Saturday you just... you can just shut the book and you know it's just time to jam. Awesome. You're just confident, yeah.
Yeah. So what happens after that, bro? How many games do you end up playing for that Tonga run at that time?
I think I ended up... So I think I played maybe like 8 games for Tonga.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how many caps do you have for Tonga now?
So I probably have... I think I have like maybe think I have like 10.
Yeah. So was that year the World Cup year?
That was the World Cup year.
Oh, right. So let's talk about that, bro. So was, well, once you do that Tonga 15s, playing there and then obviously playing the games in Fiji, etc., was that straight into the Rugby World Cup squad after that, or did you do any rugby in between?
Yeah, so that PNC was like a trial for the Rugby World Cup squad. And I knew there was some big names in my position that they could have, like, that they could take to the World Cup. So I was just, I just tried to perform. And then I had some pretty good games. And then the last two games we had Canada twice back to back. And I think I ended up scoring a double in both. And
I remember
then
that.
I was just like hoping, I was like, man, surely. But yeah, I was lucky enough to get the call, and he pretty much said, this is going to be a learning for you. Just, I want to take you to the World Cup. This won't be your last. I just want you to, Dr. Gifu, former Wallaby, just told me, he's like, just come in and learn off the greats of the game, Izzy's, the Charles Pietau, just get amongst it. And then once I know it's time's right, I'll put you on the field. And I was like, you're sweet, bro.
He really trusted you. Eh? What was it like to have, like, just to know someone trusted you, your ability, your play style? What was it like, bro?
That was cool, bro. Like, I just gave me confidence. I was just young and just wanted to go out on the field. But I just knew that once the time was right, he was going to put me on the field. So I was just like, all right, I'll do everything I can to prep the boys for every game. Mm. I'll go out and compete. And then, yeah, just exciting.
So you travel over there. It was in France, eh? The World Cup was in France. Yeah. Yo. It's obviously so you go over to France. What was it like? Kind of, you get there, settle in, go to your hotel. Were you nervous or did you feel the pressure?
I was excited, but then once I landed at the airport and I seen everyone, like it was packed out just of all these fans and Rugby World Cup supporters, and people were flying everywhere to watch the Rugby World Cup. I was like, it just really started to sink in. Yeah. I was like, the nerves started to go a little bit, eh? But I just knew that I was just pure excited. Just wanted to get on the field, eh?
Bro, your team was good, man, at that World Cup. Yeah, man. Bro, your team was pretty stacked.
Yeah, like we had like players all over the place. Yeah. Had like locks, like Adam Coleman, had Ben Tommy Furina up front, Charles Pietau, like all those big dogs, eh? It was a pretty cool team. Malakai Fikitoa, Solomon Ikata. Yeah, it was stacked, man.
But what was it like to be in France, like with your team? You would have done a lot of team bonding and stuff, fan events, etc. What was it just like to be there? Like, what did it feel like?
Just to be there was like, oh man, I couldn't, it's hard to explain. It was just like to be around with all the boys, the island boys, going from place to place was just like such a learning for me. Eh? I was just like, it was pretty out of it. Eh? I didn't feel real sometimes, like, because you're just traveling with the team, traveling to new places, new facilities. But I loved the day. It was a cool learning experience.
Bro, you're so young at something like a World Cup. Did you find it a little bit draining at times? Because I feel like just going through and you're unfamiliar with the place, you're super young, you don't actually have a lot of experience in comparison to a lot of the guys in your squad.
Yeah.
Did you find it taxing at times, just like fatigue or mental fatigue?
I was actually all right, eh? Like, I think I was just so like excited, eh?
Oh, bro,
I was just
good.
Loving every moment. I was just embracing everything. There was definitely some uncomfortable times in there, like being thrown in the deep end. But like, I think it's just all like, if you can, like, I was just trying to be comfortable in those uncomfortable positions, because like I knew that I was just going to grow from these times. But I was pretty lucky to have the support crew, like, of the boys there. And but yeah, I'd love the day. Sick, man.
Oh, bro, that's so good. So you go through the World Cup. What was your kind of favorite moment from that time?
Probably when I first touched onto the field, I played against Romania.
Yeah.
In the last game.
I think we all see those highlights.
Yeah. So that was probably my favorite moment, bro.
Oh, bro, that's gone and out the gate. So, when did you play with Ja for Moana Pasifika? That's what I'm kind of trying to figure out. Was it the year after?
So I played in the Moana under 20 squad. That was after high school. It was just like a little tournament. I think we only got together a week before.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, that's week. Yeah. And your who was the coach? I forgot who the coaches were.
I forgot his name, eh?
Oh yeah.
But yeah, he was cool, bro. But yeah, that's when I got to play with Ja. That's when I got to first meet Ja and becomes friends with
him. We'll go to your current mindset. We're not going to go there now. 15s, and then you go over, so you finish the World Cup, you've got the experience under the belt. What does the year after look like for you?
So, yep, sweet. So I played for Tonga at the World Cup, and then once I got home, I got a call from an NRL team who were pretty interested, yeah. So I was... So I was pretty, and I was like, oh, sweet, this is what I want to do. I might, this might be my move to go to the NRL. And then I got another call from a Super Rugby team, being Moana Pacifica. I was like, and then they were saying, hey, like, we want you to come in, sign this development, and we know you've been thrown in the deep end. We're going to develop you pretty fast, and we'll get some games. And I was like, so I was debating that. Well, and then ended up going to Moana Pacifica in my first year when I was 20, like last year, bro. And yeah, loved it. It was awesome. Like, good bunch of boys.
So you were on a development contract last year.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You played heaps though.
Yeah, I think I played like most of the games.
Yeah, you played most of the games. Yeah, far out. Because I remember your debut game. Oh yeah, I remember the game you debuted from one. And then one of the key games I remember watching was, I think, the Brumbies, where you were beating someone on the outside at the Brumbies. What was it like to play Super Rugby in comparison to like your international games and Sevens?
I think Super was like, I definitely felt like the nerves there. Like, there was like a lot of, but what's cool about Moana is then back then they weren't looked as like the big dog team. So they like didn't have an expectation or anything. So when I came in, I kind of just went around the boys and just like, they helped me a lot. And I had a good support crew, like, and I had Tana as head coach, and he just, my very first day I went in, and he's like, do you want to be a development or full contracted player? And I was already signed as a development. I was like, oh, I want to be a full contracted. And he just said, if you're playing better, if you train better, we will put you in the like in the starting lineup. And then he's like, that's how we work around here. And then I was like, all right, sweet. Took that. And then from that preseason, had a pretty good preseason, then ended up just playing most of the games. Yeah.
That's crazy. And the only reason I asked that question is because like when at the start of this year, when I did a bit of a look around at the teams and I looked at Moana and it had you as a new full contract player, I was like, what the hell? I swear he played all the games last year. Bro, it's pretty crazy. And who else was on your developments last year? Is that guy's like Nico Jones
and those fellas. Yeah. I think there was who else was there? I think there was like a guy called Afa as well that was on a development.
Is that Molili?
Yeah. So, but yeah, like, because I think as a development, you're only in for like, is it 3 days or 2 days a week?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I was in pretty much full time the whole year.
That's crazy. And so you obviously go through that season. Did you play any international last year?
No, I haven't. I haven't played international since the Rugby World Cup.
So it's just NPC. It was just NPC straight after the Super season.
Yeah.
Oh, and you obviously carved up for the NPC. What's it like playing for the Muckle, bro?
Oh, it's cool, man. It's like my family. Like, I remember, like, even growing up as a young fella, you look up to the Marco players and like the David Harvillies and guys like that. And like, yeah, it's a real. The culture there is just like second to none. You walk around, you'll see a Marco jersey. Yeah, that's cool, man. I love it there.
Bro, you carved up at that last year. Do you think you got a massive wave out of playing Super and getting that experience under your belt? Or was that just you expressing yourself again for, you know, somewhere that's quite close to your heart?
I think I definitely got like a lot of learnings. There's another guy at Moana, the attack coach, and he's like a kicking coach as well, Stephen Jones. He's played over 100 tests for Wales, and he's one of the greats. And being under him and Tana, they taught me a lot, like, about the game and like in my position and how I can maximize being on the field for that 80 minutes. And once I got that one attack and defense learnings, like, once I went to the Marco, I was real confident, confident from the learnings of the Super season. And then obviously being in a really good team with the Tasman Marcos, like, yeah, we had a mean year. Like, it was a good year. We fell short, lost in the quarters, bro, against Canterbury, but like, it was awesome. Like, loved it. And I think, especially playing for my family province, like, it just made me turn up.
So finishing that, you obviously go into off season. The end of that. What was that kind of off season like for you? Did you just put your head down and kind of grind? Did you have to come here for off season
after the NPC?
Yeah.
So we had like a, I think we had 3 weeks, bro, and it was just so I spent a week. I went to Bali. With the boys.
Who'd you go with? Just some of your boys?
Yeah, some of the boys home. Yeah, me. Some of the Tassie lads, Tim Sale and that. And we went over and, like, I had 3 weeks before we come for preseason. I had a week in Bali to refresh, mental refresh, which was awesome, bro. It was time to get away from footy, get away from everything. And once I came back, that 2 weeks was just full on.
Full grind.
Yeah, full grind.
Yeah.
And then once I got to preseason at Moana, I was fit and I was ready to go.
Where'd you go in Bali?
Bro, I went all over the place, eh? I went, what's the main town in where, oh, I forgot what it's called, eh? Ubud or something?
Oh, Ubud. Yeah. Oh, bro, yeah, that's, yeah, we yeah, that's pretty solid,
there,
yo.
We were there that like the whole time, man. We loved it there.
Yeah. Bro, Bali's hissing, eh? Yeah.
Where'd you go in Bali?
We were around the same area. Yeah. We were around there, and then but we stayed in Seminyak. Oh, in a central Seminyak. Did you go to like Atlas and all that?
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, that was crazy. That's crazy, man. Yeah, we Finns as well.
Yeah,
bro, it was crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
Alcohol was so cheap as well. Yeah, that's probably why you had a dusty 2 weeks ago when you came back. So you obviously go into like preseason this year, bro. What was it like? Did it you watching the news or whenever you got the text last year and you see Adi Samir is obviously coming over to Moana? What did that hit like, bro?
Bro, it was like massive, eh? It was like massive news for me. And I knew that our group was just going to lift with him.
Mm.
And as you can see this season, like the impact that he has on the game, especially when he's playing, it's just like lifts the boys, not just by what he says, but his actions, eh? But yeah, it was cool to have Adi. The preseason was real good. Like as a Moana team, being a new face, like in the Super Rugby, we knew that we had to sort out our rugby side. So Tana pretty much told us to turn up fit, ready to go. And then, it was cool, man. Like the boys were just ripping into the footy, keeping the main thing the main thing. Mm. Culture's always strong there. And then a couple of good preseason games and we were ready to go, yeah.
Is this aura like what you would expect?
Yeah.
Yo. All right. What's it like, bro? Like, it's crazy, bro, watching how Moana's done this year. Some will say unexpected, some will say expected, some will say, you know, some will call it the Adi effect.
Yeah.
It just feels like your whole team functions differently this year. Now, for you personally, what do you think sport that form or your current form this year?
I think what brung my current form would just be, I think just getting that confidence, knowing that it's my second year, having the NPC under my belt, having all this experience is that, and then just the prep, like now I know how to nail my prep. Once it gets to the game day, I know how to perform in that 80 minutes. Mm. And I think like for the team as well, like have a really good connection. We had a good preseason, got away from where North Harbour Stadium and the North Shore, we just went on a camp somewhere and we just connected as a group and we were real, how'd you say it? We knew exactly how we wanted to play the game.
Mm.
As you can see, we've got some big, ruthless, you know, up front boys, and then we've got the flair out the back as well. So how do we balance that? And then we have a saying in our group, we'll be ruthless up front to bring the poly flavor at the end.
Ooh, it's just like, that's tough.
That's us, yeah, Moana, that's right? Yo. And as you can see now, we're turning up. But I think from now, it's just trying to find that consistency in every game, finding consistency rather than just turning up for a couple, lose one, you know?
Yeah.
But we're growing as a team. Yeah. Yeah.
Just watching the way you play, did you do athletics when you were younger?
I did like 100 meters.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we did all, and especially in like primary and high school, I think everyone just does it all.
Oh, right. It was just, so you didn't do it like for an actual sport?
Nah.
Like, really? Yeah. Do you know your 100 time?
Nah, I don't, eh?
Fuck, that's crazy. So your run style is all natural?
Yeah.
You know it's illegal to hurdle and... that's crazy. I can't believe that's just natural speed, just raw speed. And you know you're... Obviously, you know you're kind of the weight that's your like beneficial for you to play.
Yeah.
You just try and stick around that and you know you'll always be able to perform.
Yeah, I think I just try. Because at the moment, I'm like 95. Probably try put on...
95?
Like, yeah.
Holy heck, bro. Yeah. Living like that at 95 is crazy.
Yeah, so like I just know, even if I'm a little lighter... pretty happy like with the speed and physicality of the game I can get around with this weight.
Bro, that's crazy. I thought you'd be lighter than 95. Wow. Right, that's probably why you're so balanced, eh? It's a good weight to keep you balanced but fast at the same time. Getting out on the outsides, you're obviously showing a lot of flair the way you evade people, for some like Ruben Love obviously getting jumped over and things like that. Is that just you? Is that just your style, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's just the way I play, eh? Like I just... Like, I think my point of difference and what I would like to bring to the game, obviously the aerial stuff, and then just when I get the ball on attack, I just want to think. I just like to beat a defender. I just give it back to Tanner and Stephen Jones. The way they have the attacking maps sets players like me and a couple others in my team alive, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think like? When you're obviously going to make mistakes at times and stuff, when the team, like you talked about Tana and you have Selala Mapusua this year.
Yeah.
When you make mistakes, you don't feel like that. You're obviously going to be angry at yourself, but you don't feel the pressure. You just feel like the family kind of of minor kind of keeps you going as a young, as a still a youngin.
I think like as a close minor unit, like if a mistake's made, you're gonna tell your brother, you're gonna say what it like what's up. But at the same time, it's most important is just to learn from it and just keep going. Like there's no point on dwelling on something. It's just like once a mistake's made, you just gotta see it for what it is, review it, and then just know. That's what brings me confidence, especially if in a game where drop ball or miss tackle or something like that. It's not, you know, you review it, take it out of your mind, and then you go to the next job. Pretty much the mindset.
Bro, yeah, it's been cool watching you jam this year, like in the way you have, because I think you deserve it with the hard work you put in over the last couple of years. You're still young. What's kind of the goals you have set for the season personally?
Personally, just want to, I think, personally, I want to make the top six for the team.
Nice.
I want to be like a good team man. I want to be the guy they can look to open up the game. And what that looks like for me is just being the best version of myself for this year and just making sure that I'm doing my role, nailing my role to the best of my ability. And once time's come to do something that can help the team, I'll do it.
Thanks for opening up all of that, bro. It's pretty crazy, eh? Like, I can't believe you were, like, obviously your boys of Jar, but like, you know, you guys are so young in the way you guys like carve up your guys' work. And so to sit there and watch on like Sky sometimes, and you just watch you in the way you're playing recently. Like, I think the game that really stuck out for me was that Reds one there. Like, when I was watching you, bro, just how different you're playing now is just, like, and the confidence you carry yourself with, bro, it's crazy. And, like, I think for a lot of people that have watched you, especially like me, that has watched you since Moana, and then, like, just FYI, this guy used to stay at my house, like, every weekend for a whole, like, 2 months. But, like, bro, it's amazing, eh, watching you. So, like, proud as of you, bro.
Appreciate it, Ron.
It's awesome. We're going to start slowly wrapping it up, bro. We won't do the 15 because I just realized we've been doing this for like 45 minutes now. So we'll start closing up. But I'll just give you a quick couple questions. For young players looking up to you and for young people, you know, young girls, young boys that are out there that are playing, what's the biggest piece of advice you would give?
Biggest piece of advice I'd give is just find enjoyment in the game. I think, like, first and foremost, like, for myself, I loved playing in the backyard footy. I like trying to jump over, trying to like fend and just trying to run with the ball, join it with your team. I think find enjoyment in the game. And once you find that enjoyment, that's when the other things will come from it. I think like if you think too much about the other things and what rugby can do for you, it won't work. But if you just purely love it for what it is, I think you're going to enjoy it. Yeah.
Okay, good answer, bro. I love that one. What's next for you, bro? Obviously talked for your goals for the season. Long term, what are some goals you have?
Long term for myself, I probably want to get to another Rugby World Cup.
Yep,
will be one. Probably just whatever team I'm in, I just want to perform to the best of my ability.
Yep,
and yeah, that's probably my main two, bro. It's just I just want to keep like that, just that 1% every day. That's it. That's my drive at the moment. It's just to keep getting better.
For young people watching as well, like obviously you're gonna have your socials. Do you wanna just what do you normally use, like Instagram and that kind of stuff for your socials?
Yeah, just Insta. Yeah.
Do you reckon you'll ever do something like not maybe like a podcast? Do you reckon like in the future you'll start doing some more media stuff, or are you just locking
for 100? I love what you're doing with this space. I see like heaps of people doing it as well. Yeah. It's just like it's cool to see. I think media and social media is popping off now, like especially with the footy scene, and the more fans can get closer to the players, I think it's cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, bro.
Yeah, no, I'm sure maybe we'll get you on the seat more often, eh? I'm going to go to some fan questions now, bro, because we've got a whole lot sitting here. What the heck? What is that one? How many girls are you talking to? What the hell is that? committed to Moana for the long haul, bro. That's the first one by Lottie Rowland.
Committed to Moana for the long haul?
Yeah. I think, and as opposed to like talking like contract, it's like your heart, like, you know, is it just stuck in Moana? Like, how is it?
Yeah, so I played for Moana for 2 years. So I think I'm off contract at the end of this year. So I'm just still in talks at the moment.
Nice, cool.
But yeah, 100% committed to Moana right now.
No, I could see. One from our little mate, Jar. What happened at Providals, bro?
I think I was just chilling on it. Chilling at home, I get a message from a good mate, Jar, your brother, and he just kind of hit me up and asked me to go to Providor. yeah, just he took me under his wing and showed me around from Little Ray.
Did it end up being a big night, eh?
Yeah, it was good, man. It was good connection night.
Is it tempting to go overseas, or is it important for you to invest back into Super Rugby and Moana for now?
I think it's important from the years till you're about probably like early 20s to stay in New Zealand, grind. For whatever, like for myself, I want to be the best in my position. So I want to stay here and I just want to be like one of the best here. So before I head off, I can do that later in my years.
Yep.
But right now, I just want to be the best here.
Nice. One from Ollie Alderson. At what age did you really believe you could make it in rugby?
I think, this is going to sound weird, but like when I was real young, like 12, bro. Yep. Like I remember I was just like, I knew my mind was stuck on being a footy player.
Damn, 12. Woo.
Yo, so I was like, I kind of had it all set out, like, of like, this is what I want to do. And like, my parents would be like, go and, you know, go like after school, what are you going to do? And I was like, nah, I want to be a footy player. Mm. So I think at 12 would be my answer.
Bro, I love that. We got one from my boy Cedric. Let's Talk Sports. You might have seen him on TikTok.
Yeah.
Are you the fastest at Moana?
Yeah.
I wonder if any of the boys will message me for that one. We got one from our boy Izzy. That was captain when you played at Moana.
Oh, yo.
Being from Marlborough, if you get the chance, would you do a Levi Almoore?
What does he mean by that? Like a
like
Levi Almoore?
Go down to the Satyrs.
I think right now.
If the time, yeah.
Yeah, if the time was right. But I think right now, I don't think I'd play for the Crusaders. I think I'd just.
Your hearts in Moana.
Hearts in Moana mean. For this year, yeah.
I love that. Another one from Izzy. Can you step out there, Samisi guy, please? Bro, he's at it, bro.
He's at a season, eh?
Bro. I honestly predicted this as well. Even on the potty I did before the season starts, like before even the preseason games, bro, I said, I was just watching Southland last year.
Yo.
Samisi Tupuotailoa, he's him.
Yeah.
I reckon he's good enough to play at 8 and RDS 7. Bro, and some guys messaged me and said, bro, you're talking out of your ass. Bro, yo. Honest. And it actually ended up working this year. What's the key difference for you between this year and last year's Moana team?
I think the key difference is, I think as a group, as a Moana crew, we like, understand this year of like our goals and where we want to get to. I think the past couple of years the team's been just focused on getting the Moana up and running. Mm. We want to participate. We're not here to participate this year. We're here to really do well in this competition. And I think all of our goals are aligned as a team, and we've got the likes of Artie's coming as our captain. But if captain goes out, our team's going to step up, you know. And I think for our team, we just get like, I think in preseason, we had a really good preseason. Now the games, we just know we're all aligned. So I'd say aligned.
Bro, nice. We got one here by one of my boys, Lucas Seaton. How many girls do you DM on a weekly basis?
None.
Oh, good one. I like that answer. We got one from Nordor.
Oh, yo.
Nord said, TBR versus NZ Condors. TBR by what? Or the laughing emoji.
TBR by 30.
Dang. And then one by my sister Nika. She just said, how's it been adjusting to the jump from schoolboy rugby to Super Rugby?
Nah, it's been cool. It's been really good. Like a pretty smooth transition. Obviously the massive big jump, but I think if your mindset's right, your process is good, you'll be good to go. And I think that's what's helped me. So yeah, happy.
Bro. Karen Tomofilel, ladies and gentlemen. Fastest man in Super Rugby. but the humble beast, that's my boy KT14, Karen Tomofilel. Thank you for coming in, my
appreciate
brother.
It, bro. All love, Ron.